Before Annabelle comes to read from God's word and William speaks, let me lead us in prayer as we come to God's voice. Mark chapter 4, verse 20 says this, "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. Our Father, we pray that tonight you would make our hearts the good soil, that you prepare us and make us ready not only to hear, but to accept what you have to say to us, that we might bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The reading this evening is taken from Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25. This can be found on page 984 of the Church Bibles. It's page 984, Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Rachel, thank you so much for reading. May I add a very warm welcome to you, especially as it is our first Sunday here for lots of the students and many others. It's lovely to have you with us. I wonder when the last time was that you received an offer that was simply too good to resist. Maybe two A's and a B to read History at King's. I mean, that would be a pretty fine offer. Or a trainee post to Allen and Overy. Or free tickets to the Anthony Joshua v. Povetkin fight last night. A number of years ago, a friend came up to me at a conference and asked me what I was doing on the 12th of July. And I thought he was asking me to go and do some work for him, and so I said I'd consult my diary. To which he replied, "I'd wondering if you wanted to come to the first Lord's test on the second day of the test in the Ashes this year." "I'm free," I replied. I'm afraid it was as craven as that. But right at the heart of the Christian faith is an offer of incomparable value. You can see it there in verse 28. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice it's made to all, not just certain people of a particular race, not simply the religious or the good. No matter what our background, what previous experience religiously, what our current moral status, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." And it's made to those who labor and are heavy laden, and Jesus is speaking in the context of a world broken and burdened, not only by our human failure to recognize God as God with all the implications that follow in terms of a broken world, but also in terms of God's judgment at our refusal to acknowledge him. And so Jesus has healed the centurion's servant. He has cleansed lepers. He has calmed the storm at sea. He's cast out demons. He's raised the dead. He's shown categorically his absolute authority to deal ultimately with everything that wrecks our world. And in that context of broken people in a broken world, the one to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given by the Father in heaven says, come, come to me. And so even at this early stage of this evening's talk, I'm tempted to say, are you weary of the endless burden of maintaining status, appearing something somewhat better than you know yourself to be, keeping up appearances in this broken world? Come to Jesus. Are you weighed down by some relentless demon that simply you appear unable to break free from? Come to Jesus. Brought low by the ceaseless monotony of gossip and power and self-serving rhetoric and broken promises of those who govern us in this broken world, broken people governing a broken world. Come to me, says Jesus, all who labour and are heavy laden. The offer is made by the Lord Jesus. He has shown his power, his miracles, had seen tens of thousands gathering to be blessed by him. He had power. The offer is made by Jesus. His teaching had left multitudes spellbound. He's demonstrated his wisdom. His teaching in the Sermon on the Mount has shaped civilizations across the world. The offer is made by Jesus. His character was such that even those who were closest said of him, he knew no sin. And this Jesus, to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given, risen now, ascended and ruling at God's right hand, he says, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden. Notice how he describes himself in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I think that is beautiful. It's kind of unique amongst leaders. His rule is not harsh. His rule is not puffed up. He does not self-promote. It's not me first. The old word for gentle is meek, and meek is not the same as weak. Meek, described negatively, is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. And the meekness shown by the Lord Jesus is a fruit of his power. And the all-powerful Lord Jesus has the authority to be meek. Come to me, he says. Who would not be part of a kingdom like that, ruled over by the one with all authority, who is meek, gentle, lowly in heart? The offer is of rest. And I love that word rest. It's actually not an offer of passive inactivity. It's not a free long stay pass into a luxury retirement home, age 22. Rest in the Bible speaks of physical, spiritual, relational joy, living in God's world with all that wrecks this world removed for eternity. It is shorthand for living life today in friendship with God, my Creator, and anticipating living in perfect harmony with my Creator in his new creation beyond this life. The word rest first comes in this sense in Genesis chapter 2, right at the start of the Bible, when God rested from all his work of creation. And the rest is then described in the remainder of chapter 2, and it speaks of physical provision and relational harmony and spiritual satisfaction. The offer then is of relational harmony, of a future world with no Hurricane Florence, no shootings in Maryland, no squabbles over Brexit, no pushing and shoving, ruled over by one who is humble and gentle. Jesus is not promising to take everything that is bad away immediately, like a fairy godmother. Jesus is no Mary Poppins. He is offering his presence today in this broken world so that we have rest for our souls and then a future in eternity in his glorious new creation with the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. And so are you weary of the constant deluge of bad news in this broken world with no hope of future relief? Well, Jesus says, come to me. And are you burdened by stressful intensity of life in God's will with no awareness of any aid from outside. And Jesus says, come to me. And are you anxious about the future with no knowledge of the one who holds the strings, who orders everything? And Jesus says, come to me. And yet people don't. So we're in these chapters which are showing us how the kingly rule of Jesus advances across the world. And there's no doubt that the kingly rule of Jesus is advancing across the world. There's no doubt about it. Just look at the statistics if you want time to look at the growth of disciples of the Lord Jesus globally. It's extraordinary. It's one of the wonders of the modern world that the Christian faith continues to advance and advance and advance and advance. And these chapters show us how the kingdom advances. And in order to show us, yes, Jesus really is in charge, he explains why it is that some people refuse to come to him. And therefore, I think it helps to train us as we think about following the Lord Jesus today in 2018. Do you know, I turned up at university as an undergraduate so long ago that I'm not going to tell you when it was. And anyway, in September of 1979, I think it was actually, to tell you the truth, I had literally just started following the Lord Jesus for myself. And one of the first things I did, because I hadn't seen this guy for a while, was to seek out one of my closest lifelong friends who was at university, had come up the same time with me. And I remember where I was and when it was that I said to him, you really must think seriously about the Lord Jesus. It is an offer too good to refuse. Not interested. I couldn't believe it. You know how it is. You're so clear. You've seen it so clearly. You're so convinced. I couldn't believe it. He wasn't interested. Why aren't people? Why don't they receive? And Jesus tells us that in verse 25 of our reading. So we have the offer that appears too good to refuse, but in verse 25 he tells us why many people won't accept. Verse 25. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So we're going to look now as to why it is that some people won't accept Jesus' offer, and then we're going to look at why it is that we must come to Jesus. Why won't they? I'm going to call this the deliberate disguise, because here we eavesdrop on Jesus, God the Son, as he speaks to his Father, the creator of the universe, in response to the hard-hearted rejection of him by the people of his day. Do you know, I think a lot of people assume that Jesus was just followed by everybody. But actually, vast numbers rejected him. And he's just been talking about the people of Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. And he wants us to know what is going on as people around us reject his glorious offer, his yoke that is light and easy. The word wise there in verse 25 speaks of a sound mind or prudence. The word understanding is intelligent, quick to apprehend. And so the implication is that those who consider themselves to have knowledge in and of themselves, God hides himself from them. And when you see the word little children there, the words little children, it doesn't refer to the gullible or the naive. It's speaking rather about those who are prepared to learn. And the suggestion is then that there are those who are ready to listen, prepared to learn, but that God the Father deliberately conceals himself from those who are wise in their own eyes. He will not be found by those who think they know. Instead, he openly discloses himself to the person who comes like a little child and says, yes, teach me, here I am. I'm ready to learn in humility. I don't know everything. Why is it then that people fail to follow Jesus? Because they think they know best. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. And if you were here last night, you would have been on your own. If you were here last week, you will have remembered that the people of Capernaum are just arrogant. They think they can do without God. They think they've risen up to the heavens. They sit above God. They're not prepared to learn from God. And Jesus praises God the Father that he hides himself from people like that and reveals himself to the humble child. The point is absolutely not that we have to remove our brains or that God is only for the gullible and the naive. There is enough in what God has shown us to occupy the most sophisticated mind and to leave those who take the trouble to explore realizing that after a lifetime of study, they're only paddling in the shadows of what it means to know God. So it's not that we are to be gullible and naive. The point is that if we will come to Jesus ready to be taught, if we will humble ourselves, then he will show us wonderful things out of his word. I think this is the most wonderful place for us to be at the outset of a new year together at St. Helens. You want to find out what it is to find rest for your soul? Come to Jesus, but come to him with the right attitude. And as you come to him, humble, ready to learn, teachable. You know how they sometimes say at a small child that's learning, you know, they soak it up like a sponge does. Knowledge. Personal knowledge, relational knowledge, a relationship with God. Come to Jesus with that attitude. You will find rest for your soul. When you pause and think about it, isn't it brilliant that it is like this? That God conceals himself from those who are wise in their own eyes. Imagine if it was the other way round, this verse. I praise you, Father, for you conceal yourself from the child and you reveal yourself to those who are wise in their own eyes. What would it be like in God's new creation as the professor of university who has sort of worked God out in their second year undergraduate degree, sits with their newspaper up, probably The Guardian, and says, well, do you know, I sussed God. I worked God out in the second year. When did you get him sorted out? God in my pocket, you see. It would be so ugly, wouldn't it? The new creation would be populated by the proud. In fact, it would be much the same as this world. How countercultural this is. What a wonderful thing for us to have at the very heart of our life together here at St. Helens on a Sunday evening and midweek in our study groups. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Are you prepared to come to Jesus, to learn from him, to take his yoke upon you? You will find rest for your souls. Do you think you know best? Are you puffed up? You think you don't need God? Oh, I might give God a bit of time when I've got some spare time. On my terms, of course, certainly not on his. You will remain ignorant for the rest of your life. There will be no rest. To the person who looks on God with condescending superiority, who will give God my attention when my busy schedule allows, when it suits me on my terms, God conceals himself. So there is a challenge here. There's huge encouragement here. If I will approach him and acknowledge my insignificance and utter dependence, rest is available. But that leaves us, I think, asking the question, why then should we come to Jesus? Because the invitation is to come to him. Do you notice that? Have a look at verse 28 again. Come to me, not to a course. Anybody who thinks read, mark, learn Bible studies are a course has misunderstood. Not to a textbook, not to a series or a box set on Netflix, but to the person Jesus. Why come to him? Verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. In other words, the source of all knowledge and the only source of knowledge about God, of any certainty and credibility, is to be found in Jesus Christ. Do you notice all things, not just some things, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father, says the Lord Jesus, so that everything there is to know about God the Father, all of his work, all knowledge of him, everything he wants us to know is entrusted to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that if we come to him, we have come to the source of all knowledge concerning the living God. The word know is a specific word that speaks of looking upon or observing someone or something. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. You see, it's negative. I was thinking of saying, hands up, anybody here who has had a fully cognitive, face-to-face encounter with the living Creator God. Don't put your hand up because the men in white coats will come and take you away. Okay? Not one of us here has actually met God face-to-face. So negatively, without some revelation from God, you're ignorant. And so am I. We're in the dark. We don't know. We have no certain knowledge. But then it's put positively. Not only has no one ever seen God, but the Lord Jesus has gazed on, looked upon, and been given all things by God the Father. And God the Father has absolute, unsullied, perfect, total knowledge of God the Son. And so, like Father and Son, though in eternity and in perfection, they know one another, trust one another in perfection. The Son then has unique access to the Father. The Son has been entrusted to a unique disclosure by the Father. The Son is in a unique position with regard to the Father. He's not just simply part of the business or knowing one aspect of the Father's character or 1% of what is to be known about the Father. All means all, and handed over means given over to. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Oh, isn't that rather limiting? Whoever the Son chooses to reveal him, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened. So on account of our undeniable ignorance, we can know nothing. And on account of Christ's unique privilege, he has everything. Here is the point of access. Without Christ, you remain ignorant, you know nothing, you can have no certain knowledge of God. But if we will come to the Lord Jesus in humility, he graciously offers us rest for our soul. Imagine for a moment that I have written on this paper, piece of paper, a date. Actually, I have got a date written down. But imagine I know when the next global financial crisis is going to start, and the date is written down on this piece of paper. Well, there is a date. I don't actually know. Okay, but imagine I did. Here it is on this piece of paper. And I said, anybody who wants it, here it is for you. I will give it to you. And I'll choose to give it to you, to anybody who wants it. Well, you've got to come to me to get it. If you're kind of too proud to come to me, you won't have it. But if you come to me, October the 18th, 2000. No, that's just made up. I have no idea. Hey, it all started here. It started here. Woo, there we go. The global financial crisis. It was set off by, wow. Anyway. If you consider yourself above coming to me, you'll remain in the dark. If you're too proud to come to me, you'll know nothing. Here then is God's glorious offer. Here is why people don't come. Because he deliberately disguises himself from those who think they know better than him. Here is why we must come to Jesus, because he is the source of all knowledge about God. God the Father has entrusted everything to Jesus, and Jesus has broken into this world, and he discloses the truth of God the Father to us. And here is the open and glorious invitation made to all, made by the Lord Jesus, the one who is gentle and lowly in heart, an offer of rest for our souls. Notice the four verbs, come. You actually have to come to him. So I was speaking earlier this week to somebody I've known for 30 years, and I tend to have a conversation about the Lord Jesus with this individual once a year. And in the last 3 years, he has started taking a real interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was preparing this talk, and so I said to him, well, have you actually come to Jesus? Oh, well, I think about him more often these days. No. Have you come to him? Oh, yeah, but I go to church more often these days. No. Have you actually come to Jesus? Take my yoke upon you. The yoke is the harness by which two animals were bound together in the service of their master. It speaks of a willing coming to the Lord Jesus. Here I am, I'm yours, surrender, you're king, I serve you. Come, take, learn. That is, I make it my goal to learn how to serve him, how to please him, what he likes, what he dislikes, how to love him, who he is. Come, take, learn, find. You will find rest for your soul. Let's pray together. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the Lord Jesus as we read of him so self-evidently, the one, your Son, to whom you have trusted everything, all judgment, salvation, forgiveness, wisdom, knowledge, power, glory, might, majesty. We praise you that all of these things reside in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. We pray for ourselves that you would help us to do these things, to come to him, to take his yoke upon our shoulders willingly and gladly, knowing that we're serving the one who is gentle and lowly, to learn. We pray, our Father, that this year might be a year of great learning of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so to find rest for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.